Hey, everybody. Welcome to Shit Kickers and Methodists.
I thought it was going to be, the title was going to be, do you want to guess our favorite magician?
All right. You know what? I'm going to wait until the end of the podcast, and then you can tell me who your favorite magician is. Okay, Damien. Hey, this is what you signed up for. This is our podcast.
You didn't even sign up for this one. This is the free one.
Yes, this is the free one. Nobody signed up. Nobody would sign up. And this is basically nature's way of telling you, run away, run away.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty
much. All right. Hey, do I have to introduce myself?
Yes.
Okay. I'm Simca Fisher. Who are you?
It's a good question. Aww. I am your husband, Damien Fisher.
Yay. And it's our 20th anniversary today. Happy anniversary, Damien. Happy anniversary. And in celebration of our 20th anniversary, we're down to one microphone. And we don't know why exactly. But yeah, one flesh, one microphone, whatever. Spent the last, 25 minutes trying to get the second one to work. And by some mystery, it do not. So here we are.
I believe it is broken.
Yeah, that is probably the main reason that it doesn't work. Anyway, we have a list of ideas. You know, being a couple of writers, we are pretty much out of ideas by Tuesday, and here it is Wednesday. Yeah. So we asked our wonderful readers and our wonderful listeners and hangers-on and Methodists and shit-kickers to...
and the rest of you creeps.
It has come to my attention that some of our listeners don't like being insulted, actually.
Am I allowed to respond?
No.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just going to put that out there so everybody Harry knows Houdini. Who's... That doesn't make any sense. That was a punchline of some kind. Somebody pointed out that it was sort of... So usually the way that you subscribe to these podcasts is that you subscribe to my blog and you can pledge as little as $1 a month and you get access to my podcasts, and then you can pledge at higher levels and get perks of various kinds. But today, in honor of our 20th anniversary, usually I put them up in their protected podcasts and you have to put a password in. So somebody pointed out that here we are. It's very NFP of us to have an unprotected podcast on our anniversary. And I have to admit, we did basically wait till the end of the day. So we're making some concessions. Let's not be ridiculous here. I don't want to hear any more NFP jokes, okay?
Ever.
And related to magicians or otherwise.
Okay.
Okay. Sheila would like to know how we met. And she wants us to tell it if it's a cute story. Is it a cute story? Story is it? Is the question.
That is a very good question. We met at college.
Yum.
And when somebody asked me how we met, and I said, oh, we met at college, she's like, that's boring. And so I guess it's not interesting to people meet at college.
Well, we met at college, but it was like 2 years before we either noticed each other or admitted that we were interested in each other. And I remember that our first sort of anything close to a date was when our mutual friend Tiffany insisted that we go to McDonald's and then brought us to McDonald's and then left.
Well, because neither of us had a car on campus.
and
McDonald's, you had to drive to. So she abandoned us at McDonald's.
Yeah. Did you have a McFlurry?
Not then. Okay. I don't think they had McFlurries then.
No,
that's how old we are.
It was pre-McFlurry time.
Yeah.
And then later, there was this place called The Rock, which was in a wooded reservoir area that was sort of a protected,
I believe
wild
it was at
place.
I believe it was at Zeta.
No.
Yes.
No.
Which was another spot, which was like more tire.
It was drinking spots in college. You know, you'd go out with your Zima or your Bartles and James.
Natty Ice.
Oh
Boone's Strawberry Liquor.
Boone's, oh boy. The finest in the gas station. You know, it was middle shelf gas station wine. Anyway, I don't recall how it happened. We were next to each other, and I thought that the very best way to entice you would be to recite.
Well, let's back up.
Yeah.
This was not, we didn't just happen to be there. As I later was able to determine, you had spent a couple of weeks sort of maneuvering yourself into my life.
And then also the next 20 years.
Well, yes. But like, freshman girls were like disappearing if they talked to me for too long.
Yeah, little blood stains on the floor in Kafka.
Cleanup list got changed rather suddenly and abruptly.
I was in charge of organizing the who cleaned up with who in the evenings. And Damien did not clean up with any pretty girls. Let's just put it that way.
Well, the original list I was on with some girls.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that'll be fun. No. And then next it was like they were not girls. They definitely were not girls. I'm not going to say anything bad about guys.
No. Nope.
Because I already said enough bad things about everybody in my life already. But
I think you were ahead of schedule on that. Yeah. So. That's all right. Some people are into that kind of thing.
Speaking of, so we get to the woods and you would sort of like cleared the path, as it were, and you sit down next to me and you've got this like leather giant coin purse, and that's what it looks like. Have it. It's this like giant sack, and it looks like a coin purse.
No, I got that at a rummage sale. You're crazy. I don't have
that
anymore.
Well, you had a large receptacle type thing.
Yes.
Out of which you pull a bottle of tonic.
Yep.
A bottle of gin.
Yep.
I think it was Fleischmann's or Gordon's.
Oh, I was a while before I graduated to Gordon's, so I think it was
probably Fleischmann's.
It was definitely a plastic bottle. I know that.
And a lemon. And you made us gin and tonics out in the woods. Because everybody else is drinking shit beer. And that's what I was looking forward to doing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Drinking shit beer and smoking, you know, Marlboro Red.
Trying to elevate you the whole time. Isn't that like fascinating Catholic womanhood or something? I'm always like trying to encourage you.
Feminine genius, right?
Yes,
there.
More like St. Joseph. Why don't you put down the boons, St. Joseph?
I think St. Joseph was a Narragansett guy.
Maybe. I can see that.
So we've had a couple of drinks
we were still pretty much like today struggling for conversation occasionally.
I forget how we get on there, but you start talking about Dr. Seuss's ABCs and you start reciting the whole thing.
All right, but I mean 26 letters. It's not like it was Moby Dick or something.
It was impressive.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we are. I don't know. Is that a cute story?
I don't know.
I don't care.
I'm going to declare that question obnoxious.
It wasn't a question. It was a... All right, let's move along.
Okay,
Natalie would like to know what... I didn't think about these answers ahead of time. I'm a terrible person. I did no prep work.
Yeah,
what is one thing that you don't know or realize... You didn't know or realize about each other when you got married, but now it's your favorite thing? Okay. All
right. Pickles, right?
I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you something that I probably never told you before.
Okay.
When we were dating, I thought, he's just not funny. I don't know if I can spend my life with a man who's just not very funny. But I think you got funnier.
I was very funny in college.
I'm laughing now. I'm telling you that. How about you? I'm not going to... You're making me answer all the questions.
I know.
Well?
That's the deal.
Oh, this was your idea. It was totally your idea.
It was totally... I can't think of anything.
All right. Well, right. Oh, okay. Here's a good question. The funniest thing that went wrong at your wedding. I know I've told this story before, but it's a pretty good story.
Oh, yes.
For those of you who are not aware of this, Damien is almost a foot taller than I am. And... this most of the time doesn't make a difference, but every once in a while it does make a difference. And when we were planning our wedding, we kind of got kind of swept along.
It was a bit of a rush.
It was a bit of a rush. A lot of guys were yelling stuff. And we didn't do a super lot of choosing what kind of wedding it was going to be at all, because it was Father Stan and he's this Polish priest, super nice, not listening to you at all because he knows how to do these things and you do it his way. And it was fine. And so we're going along. Oh, there's more than one thing. This just occurs to me. He decides that at the sermon, he's going to quiz us.
That was
specifically
not,
me, as I recall.
That was not cool.
That was definitely not cool. But I mean, he'd known me since I was like 6 years old or something. And he still thought of me as a little kid, which I was 90%. But on the other hand, I was getting married.
You're so young.
So he did. I know. He did this crazy. I don't even remember what it was. You're supposed to tell like who is more important in your life, your parent. Like, I don't. I got mad anyway. You don't want to be mad during your wedding.
He had the answer to the question, I think, was parents. And you said parents. And Father Stan misheard you and said, pets? What? No, not pets. And then he called you Simony throughout the entire ceremony.
Simony throughout the whole thing. I checked canon law. It is a valid marriage.
So, well, yeah,
don't you go nowhere.
Yeah, well,
the other thing, the thing that I had in mind though was the freaking unity candle.
Yes.
That's where the height difference came in, because
they put it up way too high. Well, they put it up as high as the Paschal
was so
candle.
Stupid anyway. What do you need the thing? You're getting married. You need a symbol of getting married. You are the symbol of getting married. There's the two of you becoming one. But there's also a candle.
Well,
I mean, at least we didn't have
the church though.
Becoming, not 100% finishing, becoming.
Okay. Right.
So we have these long, like, tapers, like these, you know, like wooden stick things that you're supposed to use to light the candle with. And we're supposed to take our separate candles and light the tapers from them and then reach up and light the unity candle and two flames become one, blah, blah, blah. Now we're married, whatever.
Yeah.
So, but
oh,
I couldn't,
man, such
it was
hippie horseshit.
So far over my head. I couldn't even tell if I was hitting it or not. I'm just waving the thing around over my head.
Your taper had gone out.
It had gone out, which I didn't realize. I'm standing there waving this stick over my head and I'm starting to get the giggles because I couldn't even tell if I was hitting the candle or not. So Damien, in his first masterful move as my new husband, leans over and whispers to me, "Just fake it."
It worked.
And it worked. I still don't know if we lit the candle or not, but the wedding
We got close
happen.
Enough. Whew. Yeah, you look great.
Yeah, so did you. It was a good deal. I liked that day. It was a misty, cool day in October, and I remember I had bought a short sleeve shirt back in the summer. I mean, a short sleeve wedding dress back in the summer.
Yeah.
Not really thinking ahead super a lot. And it occurred to me, you know, a couple week or so before the wedding. Well, you were still in school while this was all going on. I had graduated already. And I spent the summer working, really renovating a Kmart in town or some hideous thing like that. It was such an awful job.
Oh, man. Yeah. Only your hometown would have, like, a big deal about fucking Kmart.
Well, it was nicer when they were done. So, anyway, it gets to be the actual date, October 25th, and I realize, shoot, it's cold.
It
what am
raining.
I going to do? And we were
so
trying
nice.
To find, well, but, okay, but what was I going to wear over my wedding dress? A sweater? Like a hoodie? Like, they didn't even have hoodies back then. This is 1997. They hadn't invented hoodies yet. And we're looking, does somebody have a white fur coat that we know of? We're asking around, and we couldn't find anything. So I thought, oh, well, I'll get long gloves, and I'll have part of my arm be cold. Oh. And as it turns out, I was so, like, excited and worked up that I was, like, sweating anyway, so it wasn't a problem.
Those gloves were great.
Oh, you like the gloves?
Everything
okay.
was great.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
We had lots of wine. It was great.
Yeah. Well, I quickly discovered that we had nowhere near enough money to buy flowers for the tables at the reception. However, it being October, there are many, many varieties of apples in the store. So we got baskets and we shined up a bunch of different kinds of apples and put them on the tables, put a bunch of three giant bottles of wine on each table. And we had
sandwiches.
Platters of cold cuts from the supermarket. My father made a giant tub of French onion soup. I made the cake because my mother was going to make the cake, and then she got sick like she always does before this wedding. One time she cut her hand. She almost cut her hand off.
Yeah.
Because she doesn't like parties. And honest to goodness, I'm not saying she does it on purpose, but something always happens. So I made the cake, and I remember, you know, I made like a quadruple recipe or something. And I put it together. I'm like, that's not big enough. So I made more cake. And we put it together. That's not big enough. And I just kept on making more and more and more cake and piling it up. And we get down to the reception. And it's got icing on it. But that's it. It's just iced white. That's it. Like, it hadn't occurred to me to decorate it in any way.
I don't think you need it.
Happened is Kate Purcell from Canada, she took one look at it and she got somebody's bouquet. Or she gathered up the bridesmaids' bouquets or something and broke the flowers up and scattered them around on the cake and it looked nice.
Every wedding party should have at least one Canadian.
Yes.
In the party.
Yes, absolutely. I agree.
But no more than one.
Yeah, that was enough. And what did we dance to? Do you remember?
I Walked the Line.
No, we didn't.
Yes, we did.
No, we were going to.
No, we did.
No. We danced to In My Life by the Beatles.
Are you sure?
Yes, that was our first dance.
That was our dance.
And then, yeah, we danced. You know, we danced around a little bit, and then we like insisted that everybody come up on the floor because we're not super good dancers.
We're not great. We're not. We're very, very white.
Yeah.
Next question.
Next question. Sure. Somebody would like to know, what is the name of the podcast? Pass.
Pass.
What is this? Episode 44 or something like
that.
Who knows?
I have no idea.
Anyway, we're gonna let it name itself once it knows. Now I'm looking at the new system here and trying to figure out how much. Oh, here we go. I'm pressing a button. Oh, there we go. Now I know everything I need to know. Okay, and a new computer, and it's really wonderful, but it's a little bit different, and it's confusing to me. Natalie would like to know. Oh, this is very thoughtful.
She gets more than one question.
You know what? Why are you like this? She says you don't have to answer it on the podcast. Are you doing anything special for our? Now I happen to know that Natalie has a bunch of little kids, and I remember what special was like. That it was when like only one of them was poopy at once. That was pretty special. It's so hard when you have nothing but little kids, because you know, even if you get a babysitter,
there's no light at the end of that tunnel.
Right. It's so hard. You're always looking at somebody's bottom. That's what I remember. Well, we had three kids in diapers, and I was pregnant with the fourth. And that was the most kids we ever had in
at once. Yeah.
That
was difficult.
I'm not saying I regret anything, but it was hard. It was really hard, and it was a lot of. I felt like all I ever do is see bottoms. That's all I see is bottoms, and not in the fun way at all.
Yeah. No.
But we survived. Here they are, two of them in college. One of them is making pinch pots at school. It's awesome. Anyway, the point being that the older ones now babysit the younger ones. So even though we do have still a bunch of little kids in the house, we are going away.
We're going away for a bit. We will be leaving the state.
We will be leaving the state, and we won't be coming back. Till the next day.
Yeah,
and we won't be rushing back either.
No, we're gonna brunch or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, brunch. All right. He said this into a microphone. We're having brunch.
Sure.
Okay.
But that includes booze.
For brunch?
Yeah.
Oh, you have some kind of weird like orange juice champagne thing or something.
I don't care. It's
booze.
That's
what you. Well, you don't want to drink hard liquor at breakfast. That's ridiculous.
Vodka and orange juice is breakfasty.
Yeah, that's a.
It's a screwdriver.
Oh, that's not breakfast. You're thinking of a mimosa.
No, I'm thinking of vodka for breakfast, actually.
Okay. Well, once again, we have slightly different weekends in mind, but we are going to make it work anyway. That's okay.
One flush.
Yep. Megan would like to know, what has been your biggest, why did no one tell us this revelation about marriage? That's a tough one. Did you want to say something?
No, you can start.
This is going to sound stupid, but not to say that things have always been smooth sailing, because things have not always been smooth sailing.
No.
But I sort of expected, I didn't think things that would get better and better.
I know what you mean. I would say I didn't realize it was going to be overall this much fun.
Yeah.
And it really is.
Yeah. And maybe not every last second.
No. No, but it's overall, I'm kind of having a blast.
Yeah, me too. And I wasn't really surrounded by anybody who led me to believe that that's what would happen. Let me put it that way.
Nor I.
Well, and here we are. So, and yeah. Goodness knows what our kids will come up with. They'll probably marry into the Bush family or something. then we'll see something.
Oh, David Blaine is a pretty good magician.
You know, I feel like the magician thing is a joke, but I'm not getting it, on the other hand.
That's all right.
It's like being in college all over again.
You're going to get it, and it's going to be hysterical. Right. The thing is, I don't care if anybody finds my jokes funny.
Yes, he does. Here's a question from Stephanie. When did you realize you didn't know nearly as much about marriage as you thought you did? Not immediately. I don't feel like I started off feeling overconfident. I don't think our problem was overconfidence.
I think we had a chip on our shoulder.
Yes.
When we first got married.
Yeah.
We got married awfully young.
We did. And we were getting a certain amount of side eye, including some people who flat out refused to come to our wedding. Yeah. That's a lot of side eye right there.
Yeah. I keep the list. Okay.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
Do you have like a Rolodex to keep track of all your lists?
It's just... You know what? Honestly, everyone's on the list until they can prove themselves not on the list. Oh, how about that?
Am I on the list?
No, not now.
Oh, okay. Well, that's all I care about. Yeah. No. We had a chip on our shoulder, and this is the funny thing, because I was looking over these questions a little bit, and I was thinking, am I supposed to be like, you know, do people look up to us? Do people think that we're some kind? I hope not too. Well, that's the thing. I mean, you can't. I think a lot of the time. Oh my gosh! Every once in a while, I'll see something, you know, in the Federalist or something like that. This is, you know, I've been married for 9 months. Here's what I've learned. Like, madame, you have learned shit. You know, let me tell you that.
I think you shouldn't be allowed to write about marriage until you're at least 5 years in.
Yeah.
At least 5 years.
Right. And then you should be seeking information, really. I mean, I don't feel like we've gotten the hang of it until like a couple of years ago, to be honest with you.
I don't feel like I know anything about anything, really. And that's probably true.
Yeah.
But like the important stuff of like how to be married, it's a work in progress.
Well, just acknowledging that is a big deal, because I think a lot of people really do stop trying.
Yeah.
And that's doesn't ever work with anything, basically. Like, supposedly some virtuoso pianist or violinist or something, you know, they asked him, you know, Yasha Heifetz or somebody, yeah, some world famous, and he was 98 years. Yeah. Some Jew. I heard you. Can we help it if we're naturally musical? What do you
I'm
got?
Sorry. It's, it's not my fault.
No,
it's not. What do the Irish call a Jewish person who,
I don't think I like this joke.
Who's converted to Catholicism.
I don't know what.
A Jew.
And yet here we are.
Yet here we are.
So, did we answer the question? I don't know.
I don't
know.
Yeah. Well,
I guess the answer is you don't know shit. Don't just settle down. Don't worry about, here's actually my advice. Don't worry about understanding marriage. Worry about understanding your marriage. Don't, you know what I mean?
Right.
I think also, a lot of people fall into that trap, especially young, idealistic Catholic women.
Especially, you know, a lot of folks in our circle get married young,
mm-hmm,
and they don't know who they are.
Yep.
And it's very difficult to be married and in a real relationship with someone else when you really don't know who you are or what you're about.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a good idea to be with somebody that you can think you can depend on to let you... you know, give you a little bit of wiggle room to figure that out,
yeah,
rather than locking you into some kind of ideal, you know,
yeah.
You know, so I remember thinking that this guy is different. and I remember thinking that I wanted to be what? Go ahead.
No, keep going. You say your thing.
And I'm
not,
say my
I'm
thing.
Shutting up now.
All right. I remember thinking very clearly that this was the first time that I really wanted to be a better person, and not that you like demanded that I be a better person or that I wasn't good enough for you or something, but just like being around you made me feel like this is something good in life and I want to live up to it. That's how I felt.
My feeling is mutual.
Okay. So that's a good, I know. Cause sometimes people ask like, what do you look for in a husband? I'm like, two legs. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything about marriage. I only know about my marriage.
I had this conversation today at the office. One of the gals who works there, she's back on the dating scene because she's recently broken up with her boyfriend, Slugworth. Anyway, so she's back on the dating scene, and she went out, decided she was going to go out and read a book in public. So she went to a Dunkin' Donuts, which is...
Wait, she decided she was going to read a book in public, like as a statement, or...?
No, as a way to like attract someone to come talk to her. And it worked. And a gentleman comes up and talks to her. And they exchange phone numbers and they set a date to go out. And then she Googles him. And he's a sex offender. And so then she says to me, should I still go out with him, though?
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
No, you don't fucking go out with a sex offender. You can do better than that.
Yeah, well, can she? I mean, that's a pretty small
list. Everyone who's listening can do better than the sex offender. Everyone in the world can do, except for the sex offender, everyone in the world can do better than the sex offender.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. No, so, you're right. I mean, people don't know that. People don't know that. So,
and she's, you know, she's a nice enough girl and kind of nuts, but there you go.
No, but not a sex offender. So.
Not a sex offender. Exactly. Yeah, well, I don't know. I've never Googled her. So.
I should hope not. here's an interesting one. Nicole wants to know why is it okay to have a big family and not a seven-figure income? And I don't think she was asking it in a challenging way.
Oh, right.
I think she was saying it in a slightly facetious. We do not, for the record, have we barely have a figure income at all. I mean, how did we do it? We limped along. I don't know. We had a lot of help.
We had a lot of help.
We had help from friends. We went on government assistance when we needed it and went off when we stopped needing it, which was harder than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
Boy, that's hard.
But, yeah. Is it wrong to have a baby ever? Ask yourself, is it ever wrong to have a baby when... And sure.
It's a different kind of decision from any other financial decision. Like, there's sometimes when it would definitely be wrong to get a new car or to get a new house. But, and I'm not saying that it's always a good time to have a baby, because I know that it's not.
Right.
I know that. And I don't want to be one of these like, oh, God will provide. God will not give you more than you can handle. Like that. I don't really think
sometimes he gives you a whole lot.
Yeah. Sometimes he's trying to show you that you can't handle anything, to be honest with you. Yeah. And we've been through that sort of dovetails with another question that somebody asked. What were your, tell me about your hardest times, Caitlin wants to know. Mm. I think without being too specific, feeling powerless.
Yeah.
And that's the worst thing to feel and the best thing to go through, because it is true of every single person in the world, is that you are powerless to one degree or another.
Yeah.
And the sooner you find it out and face it and get used to it, the better. Right. And that's one of the reasons that you're married, is that so you don't have to go through it alone. Not that it makes you powerful, but that at least it gives you some company and some aid. Right.
I hope so.
I feel like between the two of us, we're less powerless than we absolutely need to be. I know, that's the sweetest thing I've said all day, right? okay, here's one from Laurel.
Okay.
How do you keep that spark sparkling or spark when children and work take all your time and energy?
What kind of spark is she talking about?
I don't know. It's the internet. It could be anything.
It could be a lot of things.
I mean, again, this is something that was very much harder when we had a bunch of little kids. And
teenagers, anybody out there with big families, teenagers make the world so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we can.
There's definitely some give and take on that.
Yeah, well.
It's not a net gain is what I'm trying to say necessarily.
Well, they bring something to the table, they take some stuff off the table. Yeah, but
sometimes
overall,
they tip over the table and slam the door.
Yeah, there is door slamming. But we're able to, like, in the middle of the week say, hey, let's go out for a drink, because one of us is on the verge of tears.
Right. What could, and again, yeah, well, yeah. Anyway, but it's not as if we had to wait, 13 years or 17 years or something to start enjoying each other. I think looking for opportunities and enjoying where you are now is really important, and not having some ideal in your head that it has to be champagne flutes and sunsets on the beach. It could be that you're having a nice 8.5 minutes on the couch together before the baby wakes up. So, cherish it, basically, and make sure that, and Tom, gosh, talk to each other. Don't assume. I think a lot of the trouble that we ran into, as far as trouble that we ran into, was when we misunderstood each other. Most of the time we wished each other well, but we didn't think that we wished each other well.
For some reason.
No, seriously. I mean, there was a lot more misunderstanding than there was malice when we were having hard times.
I think so. That's usually at the heart of it for
us. I mean, unless you're just married to some kind of son of a bitch, but which happens, but
I like where this is going.
No, but I'm not, and I like you. And believe it or not, we've come to the end of our questions, Damien.
That wasn't too bad.
No,
I was ready to just do look at everybody with disapproval.
On the radio.
I am silently judging all of you.
Silently judging into the microphone, as is his wont.
You're on the list.
Oh, 20 years and now I'm on the list. All right, you want to hear a poem?
Yes.
All right. We do usually end our podcasts with a poem, which I choose angrily from one of my... I have the worst... I love poetry, but I don't know. I have some kind of complicated relationship with poetry, but I found something. I think Greg posted that. Greg Camacho? Is that how you pronounce his last name? What's your best... You grew up in California. What do you think?
Macho Camacho. Yeah,
sure.
Camacho.
Okay. I'm pretty sure that's who posted this online anyway, and I liked it. I had never heard it before. This is by, Adam Zagajewski, I think. Is that how you pronounce his name? All right, you ready? try to praise the mutilated world. It's a wedding poem. No, it's not a wedding poem, but I like it anyway. Okay. All right. Listen up. All right. Try to praise the mutilated world. Remember June's long days and wild strawberries, drops of rosé wine, the nettles that methodically overgrew the abandoned homesteads of exiles. You must praise the mutilated world. You watched the stylish yachts and ships. One of them had a long trip ahead of it, while salty oblivion awaited others. You've seen the refugees going nowhere. You've heard the executioners sing joyfully. You should praise the mutilated world. Remember the moments when we were together in a white room and the curtain fluttered. Return in thought to the concert where music flared. You gathered acorns in the park in autumn and leaves eddied over the earth's scars. Praise the mutilated world and the gray feather a thrush lost and the gentle light that strays and vanishes and returns.
That was excellent.
Wasn't that good?
That is excellent. Although, wait.
Yep. I'm turning the microphone. We're sharing a microphone.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. How come thrushes only show up in poems?
That's not true.
Where else do you see thrushes? I don't think I've ever seen a thrush. They only show up in poems.
Okay, come on. What birds have you seen?
I saw a heron just the other day.
That's true. He did. He sent me a message about it too. It was nice. Yeah. Do you want to tell your joke?
Communication.
Yeah. Make a note, kids. Do you want to tell your joke though?
No, wait, what joke?
You had told a joke at the beginning, and I said you could have the punchline at the end.
No, I think you know, you've got smart listeners. They're going to figure it out.
All right. Well, Google it, I guess.